Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
The Good Morning Football podcast after show. Kay Adams here with Nate Burleson.
Hey, what's up, Kay? How you doing?
Been sitting here with you for 2 minutes, and you have chugged half of a large milkshake coffee drink.
It is coursing through my veins right now.
You are an
animal. I'm getting fidgety.
It's a venti caramel frappe, it says.
It's a shake. That's what it is.
Shakes. What he does is impressive. Every podcast with those things.
He does. It looks incredible.
At least I don't have 37 teas every day.
Yeah, that'd be me.
Nate, I had a moment with you this morning. One of my favorite moments coming into the work is Nate.
Kyle Brandt, by the way.
Hey, I'm Kyle. In the morning,
hi, I'm Kyle.
Nate is so, you don't want to talk. You're in your zone. I don't talk to you. And I see him ordering his drink to the drink fetcher. And he's calling it. Your order this morning was
drink
so
fetcher.
Stupid. It was like, yo, can I get
I'm gonna
tropical
be you.
Lemonade?
You say, can I get the peach tropical Caribbean?
I'm going to be you. I'll be you. Because we were passing in the hallway.
Yeah.
You be me.
Let me get a peach, coconut, tropical, Caribbean, mango, a papaya.
Anything with an umbrella in it.
And then KB walks past me, he's like, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing. You're just making things up.
You're
now,
just saying names on the roster.
Right, you're naming tropical ingredients.
Do you really love lamp, or are you just saying that?
That's one of my favorite moments from the show. We were like, it was one of these dead-end segments a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about the Browns, and Nate was in a hole where it was like 2 minutes to go, Nate, and he just starts listing names.
Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah. And they got Corey Cole. I go, Nate, you're just listing names on the roster.
Naming Cleveland Browns.
That is not an argument.
Well, today's show, we had no dead-end segments. At all. So many guests,
yeah.
Amazing moments that I will never forget. We had Chris Collinsworth hang out with us at the breakfast table. He just brings an energy and a presence and a charisma and a level of intelligence, and just like he doesn't have to say anything and he just motivates me to be better.
Is that weird? He's the voice of football in a lot of ways, and he's done the Super Bowl many times. And one thing we didn't get to ask him, which I always give him credit for, he's doing the Super Bowl and it's Seahawks versus Patriots. Mm-hmm. And they decide in that split moment they're going to pass the ball to Lockett instead of hand the ball to Lynch. And in that crazy flurry of what's going on, he immediately just questions, you know, Pete Carroll. He's like, how do you not go to Marshawn Lynch in that spot? And I'm like, to have the balls to do that on the Super Bowl and question Pete Carroll in that moment.
Deeper. He said it was one of the worst play calls ever.
In real time.
In real
not
time.
Not the next morning when you're like, oh, what, you know.
Because you were like, okay, there's 200 million people watching. I'm pretty sure that was a horrible call, but should I say that? Because if I'm wrong, then I look like a complete jerk throughout the whole world. But it's what he said today on the air. Like, you have to be negative or you're just a shill for the NFL.
Yeah.
And he was negative on the worst call in NFL history, and he nailed it.
I love that he didn't say negative. He said honest.
Honest.
And he said
yeah,
it over
right.
and over again. And I was like zoned in on him when he was answering this, because he didn't talk about Super Bowl specifically. He was just in generality speaking. I put in the work. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to put in the work and all the tape and time away from my family, and I'm hitting up PFF guys left and right, and I'm watching everything that goes on, you're paying me to be honest. And he didn't use the word negative, and I really respect that.
Yeah, and another
and you,
thing
Nate,
that
I mean, jeez,
well, I kind of fanned out, but I was listening to every single thing that he said, and when he was talking about being honest, he also said, "If I'm going to do my job, I'm going to do it the right way." But then he followed it by saying, if you're going to pay me to do my job. Mm-hmm. And this is what people don't understand. When you're a TV personality, you're getting paid for your opinion. He's saying, if you're going to pay me, I might as well tell you exactly what's on my mind. Because if I'm trying to be somebody else, or if I'm trying to cater to a certain crowd, and I get fired or let go or released, then why am I doing it
what
somebody else's
you
way?
On? You're right.
I'm going to do it my way. And that's what I can appreciate. And it's guys like him that have helped shape me in so many ways, and now kind of trending upward, and people like to pat me on the back, but there's so many people along the way that I've taken notes from and blueprints and put it into my own world. Like, I remember everything that he said about me in every TV copy of every game that I've watched,
really?
Because I would get done playing, and specifically that wild card game, Minnesota Vikings versus the Green Bay Packers. They beat us twice that year. We go in there and we kick their ass. Like, it was one of our best games. Randy Moss does the moon, and I'm listening to all the commentary. That's a disgusting.
Joe Buck, yeah.
Joe Buck, that's a disgusting display. I can't believe he'd do something like that. And I'm thinking to myself, he doesn't even know that the fans moon us every time we leave the stadium. Like, that's their thing. That was Randy Moss kind of giving the fans a little something back. But I'm also listening to Collinsworth. And he kind of laid out. he kind of agreed in a sense, but he didn't dive all the way in saying Randy Moss is an absolute disgrace to the game. But then with all that going on, I'm paying attention to what they're saying about me. And I remember to this day, and I'll never forget it, he said, Nate Burleson is torching Ahmad Carroll this game. And he kept complimenting me. I don't know awesome. Where this guy Nate Burleson came from, but he's having a game of his life. He's showing up big in a wildcard game. We know about Randy Moss, but Nate Burleson, you're having a hell of a day. And, like, that's verbatim. And I still have that tape. So his voice coming in, sitting down, I can be as cool as a cucumber, but I was kind of fanning out because there were moments in my career where I thought to myself, quite frankly, what the hell does this guy have to say about me? And why does his opinion matter? But then as I got older and I appreciate honesty, I loved when he tore me down because it was a brother of mine giving his honest opinion. But more importantly, when I did it right, he complimented me. So when you get high praise from a guy like that, that means you're really doing something well on the field.
It's interesting. So he's we didn't say it outright, but he's got ownership stake in that Pro Football Focus right now. And basically,
in the last three or four years, he
bought
it.
They were up and running, and they were kind of tinkering along. And Collinsworth was using these guys' services. And then he was talking to teams. They're like, oh, yeah, we use it. So he's got money. He threw himself into it, and he moved all those guys to Cincinnati, where he lives. Mm-hmm. And they've got an office. And he said 300 employees nationwide. They break down all the tape, and we label it analytics, and we roll our eyes. But what he said was, these guys watch every snap of every game, and they make me better because I do two games a week now. There's no way I can do it all myself.
I related to that. We all do because you have to prepare for the show every day. It's hard. Like, there's not time sometimes to prepare for a three-hour live
show.
The
Cliff Notes.
Yes, Cliff Notes. Exactly right.
In an interesting way that hasn't been done before. Yeah. It's not just there's the film and this guy's doing this and there's a punch block and there's like five techniques.
It's relatable. You can talk about it. It's useful.
Absolutely. So, Nate, I saw you, the businessman and the entrepreneur, your head spinning when he was talking about that.
It's unbelievable. I love guys that take what they've done in the game and then they build on that foundation. And we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and you were telling me how Pro Football Focus is now used by majority of the league.
I think it's 28 teams. And they pay them for their services.
A handful of teams that aren't doing it, and they pay them handsomely for their services. And like KB said, it's applicable to the game. So when a coach is trying to tell a wide receiver, hey, listen, in the third and fourth quarter, I'm going to need you to sell that stop and go.
Because this cornerback.
That cornerback bites the hell out of it later in the game because he's tired.
So why were you saying this when Steve Smith was on set clowning on Steve Palazzolo?
No, I did. I jumped in and I said, as a young guy.
You didn't say stop the fight, no Moss on that one.
Yeah, no, I said.
Some segment, guys.
As a young guy, I didn't appreciate the numbers. I didn't see it. I'm like.
But it's not just numbers. It's trends.
I used the word numbers because that's how we looked at it. It's nerds and numbers. But then as an older player, I realized there's so much between the helmet and between the ears that I don't realize. And that's where some of these young, talented players that come in the league, when they get both, when Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott can come in and say, okay, I might be talented, I might be gifted athletically, but if I can master the room, which is why, who was the quarterback that came in and was talking about, was it Kaiser?
Pat Mahomes. I'm going to kill the room.
Who was the quarterback that said, I have the body of Cam Newton, but if I study like Tom
Kaiser.
Brady.
Yeah.
Kaiser. Now, who knows if he'll ever get there, but he has the right mindset.
Yeah.
If I can use this body, but work in between my ears and use the analytics, you can be dominant in this
league. I've been using PFF forever for fantasy. It's hands down incredible. And I mentioned them probably once a show during the season because I've always used their stuff, and they always notice, and they'll always grab what I say, and they'll retweet it or tweet all that. Those 300 dudes in Cincinnati are on absolutely everything, and I love it.
You know what I thought was really relatable about Collinsworth, and also very generational, when he talked about how he wasn't on Twitter, and his son, he started on Twitter and had a few followers. And
four followers.
Yeah, he goes four followers, and then he goes and he does his game, he does his broadcast, and Chris Collinsworth, that show is 20 million people watch Sunday Night Football. It's the number one rated show on television, and he's the star. So he does what we all do, and he thinks he has this great broadcast, and he's glib, and he's smart, and he's insightful. Then he goes and takes the victory lap, as he called it, and said, I'm going to hear all these congratulations. And then he said something like, and people are telling me to do things with my body that aren't anatomically possible. And then it's like, what? How can I kiss my own ass? He's like, no, worse than that. It was really relatable because I don't know about you guys, but in fact, I do know about you guys. On the train ride home sometimes from the show, I'm like, if I had a pretty good show, I think things went well, I'll read Twitter, I'll see, come on, soak it in. And then half the time, it's some guy calling me a douchebag and I suck. It always ends up that way.
Yeah. I had a great game. I'm going to go have them tell me how great I did.
Yeah, right.
It resonates with, I think, everyone and everyone.
Yeah, Twitter's undefeated. They'll always do something negative.
Even
no
when we
what.
Had him on the undefeated. Show, we felt so good about him, and he was so excellent. And then you check Twitter, it's like, get him off my screen. It's just those lead analysts are so toxic for some reason.
The fact that he knew I was left-handed, he's so observant.
He watched the promo.
That will never in my, like him calling your games and saying that you're torching guys, that will never leave me, him saying, and Kay, you're left-handed.
I've seen that promo 1,000 times.
Because in the promo, you reach out with your left hand. What are you talking about?
He broke you down like it was Steve Young or Michael Vick, like a left-handed quarterback. It's true. I've seen that promo 1,000 times. It's never occurred to me that you do it.
Stick out to anyone?
Ever. But he looks at bodies and throwing and everything, and that was really perceptive.
What did he get into on Romo and Cutler?
He was great with Romo and Cutler because here are these two guys going straight from the booth. And, that, and really more specifically, the question should have been, Cutler's going to a three-man booth because way back when it was Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Collinsworth on Fox. And these guys, you know, obviously Romo's going with Nance. And his advice was, don't check your Twitter and just keep your head down and be honest, right? Like, because I think their biggest holdup is going to be the media critiques of them and the fan critiques because whether you hate Cutler or love Cutler, there's going to be an opinion on him. And with Romo, he's universally beloved, I think. I don't think anyone really hates Tony Romo. Yeah. It's like such a nice guy. And Twitter brings out hate. And then whether it's from egg avatars or the sports media writers, they're going to be critical of him. And, you know, he's kind of a aw shucks, you know, everyone loves me, I'm one of the guys. That doesn't fly in that world. So you're better off just avoiding it and just being good at your job.
Yeah, you gotta really blanket out the noise because there's going to be so much noise underneath you. From Twitter, from even the media and the people that are going to be critical of how these guys do on game day. But my advice to them, and these guys are superstars, a lot bigger than me, but they just got to have mentors and listen to those guys. So whoever you have in your corner that's going to tell you to do better or you're doing something too much or you're not using your hands or you're not being as descriptive, I need you to be more colorful. They need somebody to make sure they're constantly being coached because – Twitter world is going to try to coach you, but they have no idea what you're talking about.
Let me spin this around then, Nate. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Put me on the spot.
Nate Burleson just got the CBS NFL Today, huge prestigious role.
Yeah.
Do you think there's jealousy amongst the others in the industry, or is there a big brother you can go to? Because I'm going to Romo. You have the number one job. Will someone else at one of these networks be like, I'm going to show you the way? No, you were the number one guy. Nate, now you're the number one guy on this CBS show.
Yeah, I would say if you have somebody that – is close to you, they can constantly coach you up. I'm not saying that somebody within the NFL Network world is going to be in my corner saying, hey, go get them, but there will be people that I will reach out to. I won't listen to Twitter to tell me how to do my job. I will listen to their opinion if we're talking about sports. I will listen to their opinion if we're talking about life. But with Romo and Cutler, there's going to be so many people telling them what they should and shouldn't be doing that they can't listen to those people. They can't listen to them. You have to listen to people that make you better. Like, if you guys are watching CBS and I come to work on Monday and you guys are like, hey, that was great, but I think you should have dived in
on this. You would listen to that.
Of course I'm going to listen to you guys. That's what they have to do. Because sometimes Twitter can pull you in a direction you don't want to go. I've been there as an athlete and I've been there as an analyst. You start listening to so many people and you're like, oh, let me change. Let me talk a little bit lighter.
You
let
look
me be
at it,
nicer.
Right, though, Nate?
Do you?
Yeah,
but do you let it affect you, Kyle? Like Twitter?
Nah. Like, I mean, I got very thick skin about it.
If we're being honest, like it feels good when you get nice things, but when you get anything that's negative, does it bring you down?
Nah, not really. Like I've gotten that in my different bizarre career for years. Yeah. You suck. So no. If anything, I like a good insult.
Tom Sula is the only one that has anything on you in career path.
I know, right? Tom Sula has a weirder resume than me.
Only one on the planet.
But I do read it, and Nate, I know you read Twitter, so. Yeah. Again, you go on the NFL Today. Let's say it's your first big segment, and we know Nate Burleson, and you have a little...
Colin Kaepernick, Nate, what do you got?
Yeah, or any the Patriots, whatever, and you do it, and you deliver it. Then you go to commercial. Are you looking at your phone? And are
not doing the commercial break. I do it for our show because I like to drive in
live.
The social calls.
Okay.
But I'll wait till I get home. And to be honest, because I'm so busy as a father, that by the time I get home...
It's passed.
It's passed, and I'm not looking at it. Now, it's just like...
That's the thing. It all passes.
It's so fast.
It's done in 2 seconds. They're thinking of something else.
It's a 24-hour news cycle. But if there's something that I feel like I could work on, just like when I was an athlete, I never really watched the good games over and over again. I would watch the bad games, and it was gut-wrenching, painful. And it's like watching yourself stutter through a speech in front of the class. Mm-hmm. But I had to watch it. On the show, if I make a mistake, I'll watch it. If we have a great show... I don't care what Twitter says. Like, if I look at you guys and we walk away, we're kind of high-five each other. You know, we do the metaphorical chest bumps and we're like, yeah, that's a good one. Can't wait to do it tomorrow. I kind of tuck my phone in my pocket. I'm like, we kick ass today. Let's keep it moving.
Which I think when we did the red carpet, remember how nuts Twitter went? And it was like, KKK. I would, none
that was
of
a
that,
crazy day.
It was a weird.
Talking about this year at the draft?
Yeah,
that was a
social.
A sensation, and it must have been overwhelming for you.
No, it was, I didn't care because Chris Collins were saying that he watches the show and saying, Kay, you do great. Well, always prevail. It's just like, that's the only opinion that I actually care about. And that's really just the truth. Like when we're at the NFL Honors and Mike Tirico comes up to me and Peter and is like, watch the show, guys. Great work. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. Right.
And
after,
that takes
right
away
afterwards.
Anything
yeah.
that's on that phone. That's
I saw you get a really nice compliment from Andrea Kramer too. When we were at the Super Bowl, she singled
like
you out the same way.
That is the stuff that matters. Sort of like you, like saying that you would listen to people that you respect, like anyone should. Our other guest.
Oh my God.
So we're all like feeling ourselves. Chris Collinsworth brings the energy. We're all
8
like
8 a.m. Collinsworth, tremendous. Yes. Giving us love.
He leaves, and Nick Carter.
Two ships in the night.
Gets on set wearing a Jameis Winston jersey.
Really excited to be there.
Nick Carter, the lead singer of the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. I think we begin last fall when it started.
Yeah.
Last fall, you know, we're on Twitter again, and the Bucks are doing some exciting things. And I remember one day I saw that Nick Carter, the guy of the Backstreet Boys, the blue check, is tweeting about our show and saying GMFB, giving love to the Bucks. I was like, oh, Nick Carter. I was way into the Backstreet Boys in college. And then we talked about it on the air, and he tweets back us again and again. There's a thing now, 6 months later, some odd, he comes on the show. And it was one of the coolest guests we've had for me. I really did think it was great.
He was natural. He felt like one of the guys sitting at the table. He loves the Bucks, and it's so great that he's such a fan. And it was really cool, some of the tweets we were getting from fans after Peter saying, wow, now he knows what it's like to be a fan.
Yeah, there was one like really nice one tweet, because he's got this thing. I mean, if you're a boy band star, you've got fans for generations, and mostly female, right? I mean, a huge audience. And
spans over a couple decades.
Yeah, and Twitter
is
nuts.
Shaking, if you will.
Yeah.
I looked on YouTube. I was listening. I played I Want It That Way, and I'm walking through the hallways.
How many hits?
350 million. Yeah. And like Bye 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 is 200 million. It was massive. And that's why it's so cool for me. We love music because it takes us back to a point in our life. And if someone's listening to this, I'm like, Backstreet Boys, whatever. This is a football show. Backstreet Boys suck. No, listen. In 2000, 2001, they were the biggest thing in the world. The biggest band in the world. No rock band, no nothing.
One Direction is literally nothing.
Nothing. They were huge. So, like, those five guys could go any country, any place in the world, and sell out a 100,000-seat stadium.
You're
the
right.
biggest thing there was. If you look at that end, that late 90s, early 2000s, it was Britney, and it was boy bands, Christina Aguilera. They ruled the world, and nobody was bigger than the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, they still rule the world. They're both performing at the same hotel in Vegas, Britney and
You're
the
right.
Backstreet Boys.
You're
it's
right.
Crazy.
He told a really cool story to me off camera. I said, you know, I remember NSYNC at a halftime show. Did you not do it? He goes, it's funny. He goes, in 2001, when the Super Bowl was whatever it was the Ravens versus the Giants in Tampa, we were offered halftime or national anthem. And he said the mystique of like the Whitney Houston national anthem at that time was such a big deal. No one even knew the halftime show.
I didn't
so
hear
we
you ask that.
We chose the national anthem, and then Britney and Nelly and NSYNC did the halftime show,
which is crazy.
But
it's
he's like, if we knew now, it would be different. But he's like, at that time, we chose the anthem over the halftime show. And
does
I'm like,
he regret it?
It seemed like he was like,
it's a great halftime show they did. Aerosmith was part of it.
Legendary halftime.
I don't remember
MTV produced it.
Me neither.
I don't either.
I didn't even know they did that.
You should probably Google it.
What was great about him is that when you're such a superstar, you get a mixed bag of praise and also, you know, kind of jabs, because the boy band mystique comes with the boy band jokes.
Totally.
And he got it. Like 100%. He was laughing and joking and engaging. And then he capped it all off by talking real football.
He knew his stuff.
Yes. Man, you throw out a couple offensive linemen? Are you kidding me?
I for sure thought that we were feeding him answers on the trivia, and we 100% were not.
Right. To the point, I think
he's a good actor, too.
He knew all that stuff. And I think the word that maybe at least one of us used was he was so secure. Like the idea that, yes, I was in a boy band. We used to do cheesy dances and sing about girls. But I have a great life. Yeah. I am put together. I have a family. I'm still touring. And by the way, I love football. So like some of the things we did with Nick Carter was like he could have like been sensitive about. We're putting them in the archetypes, the leader and the bad boy. Yeah. And
right.
like he loved all of it.
Even when he was singing. Like he sang it and Kay was like, no, you got to sing it this way. He's like, you want the boy band way? All right, I'll sing it the boy band way.
Yeah, I'm doing the dumb puns about I want it that way. And he's been hearing that for 20 years. Yeah. And he's still rolling with it. I thought he was a good dude.
Nobody has to do any of that stuff. And then even in the break when he's leaving saying, next time I should get all the guys here on set. Or you guys come to Vegas and check out the show with your families or whatever. Like, that's Unheard of.
Okay, can I tell you?
I love him.
I'm walking in here. I got a text from a 310 area code.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, it's Nick Carter. Here's my dish. Just call me anytime.
This is like Kyle's favorite moment of life.
Cool. Listen, yeah, like if James Hetfield and Metallica, that'd be cool too. But like, he's like, come to Vegas anytime if you want to see a show. It's my number. I had so much fun on the show.
Which brings me to love it. GMFB goes to Vegas.
GMFB on site, on
Jen
location.
Jen Simon sitting right here in my. I see you, Jen. You can't hide.
You are looking live now, at the Vegas
Let me
trip.
Break this down for you, Jen. We go and we do, let's say, a whole week.
3 days?
3 days. Three
Howard
days.
Howard Stern used Long to bring weekend. The Stern show to Vegas, and there would be packs of people who'd come to see it. It felt like an event.
It was massive.
We're in the dead days of football. Dead days.
Yes.
We go to Vegas, and Nick Carter brings out all his Vegas cronies, whether it be Britney comes for a day or whoever. That's a show.
Nick Carter hooks us up. It's like the sponsored by Nick Carter Tampa Bay Week. We get Jason Light out there somehow.
He'll fly out there.
I don't know. Yeah, during training camp,
sure.
Why not? Allie Marpet on remote. All of that from Vegas. Can I get a maybe out of Jen?
Definitely a maybe.
Yeah, that's Oasis.
Maybe. Take it.
I think
it's a movie, right? Definitely.
That
maybe.
Would be nuts. All right, so we went to the
awesome.
Sports Emmys.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
We didn't record a podcast last week because we didn't have it in us, guys.
No. Even after. We thought we were going to do it the next day.
We went to the Sports Emmys all together. The biggest failure maybe of the year for me is the fact that we...
Didn't take one photo.
I can't believe we don't have one photo.
Not one photo.
I'm mad at me. The three of you I'm mad at.
I'm not mad at you. No. Yeah.
What do you mean?
We're the stars.
You've
I was looking for cameras. I didn't see any.
You've been there. You've done that. You should at least know. Have been
I was
like,
so
there's a...
mad. I literally was... visibly mad the next morning. My wife's like,
I'm
well,
so mad today.
You guys all dressed up. You look great. Let me see it. And the only photo that came out of it was Nate Burleson alone on a red carpet. I missed it. I wanted
question.
To be a part of it.
Nate, how is it that you knew what to do, where to go? Why is there good lighting? You had like the perfect hashtag. Who took the photo? I need to know all of it.
I was walking up to the red carpet and we were getting
shoes.
There was a red carpet.
It was a red carpet right by
First
the entry
of, all, we
of the
there
auditorium.
A good, you two were there bright and early.
I feel like
yeah,
I didn't
we
leave
got
Nate.
There too
I didn't leave
yeah.
Nate's side and the next day he's got 40 pictures. I said, well, we didn't get one photo together.
I see the red carpet. I walked the other way. I don't want to go out there. It's not my thing. At least not at this stage.
The four of us together should have had.
I wanted to get it with the.
Well, listen, they take a photo in the winner's room. We just didn't get to go in there.
Kyle,
you know?
The
take...
researcher from like outside the lines was posing on the red carpet.
Him, right?
We're allowed to take a
photo.
I
saw Matt Hamilton out there on the red carpet. You loved that, didn't you, Peter?
He also accepted the Lifetime Achievement Award, but we'll go on from there.
There was a photo with you and A-Rod. Where's that photo?
I don't know where that photo
Who are those people? I arranged an entire photo shoot with you two and it's poof, gone.
I know. I was
Where
a little nervous. I was a little nervous walking up there.
That
was
cool. The sliding doors. You went right in there.
Yeah, I was nervous
A-Rod
to walk
did not mind.
A-Rod. He was chilling, but I was kind of nervous.
But where's that photo?
I don't know.
I've never seen Nate like that. They were the photographer's like, can we get a picture of you two together? And I think Nate kind of overheard and ignored it. And I was like, I'll ask him. So I walk up to Nate, like drag him over to A-Rod and go, hey, A-Rod, Nate.
You gotta see. Yeah. Nate's a Seattle kid. A-Rod in the late 90s was the guy.
He was the guy.
A-Rod, Griffey, Randy Johnson, Jay Buhner.
The big Buhner,
Talk about presence. Yeah. Alex Rodriguez. Wow. Yeah. Presence.
Did he have it? I didn't have FaceTime with him.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Like he let you know he was A-Rod and so
he didn't have to. He's very quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably see more than I do.
Yeah, A-Rod walks on air, dude. It's a different deal.
Energy.
Like, yeah.
We're going through to get to this page, but there's offhand.
Because like as a baseball player in New York, like he was not cool. Like Jeter was the cool one. And
but I think that's changing.
I think we may be onto something with that. I think it might be changing.
I mean, Yankee fans might crush me for saying this, but I think the post-career A-Rod has been pretty neat with going to Fox and being a part
successful.
Despite all the steroids and all the stuff that he's been dealing. Jeter.
Yeah, I mean, he married a Victoria's Secret model, and he might own a team. That's a pretty crappy life.
Yeah, feel bad for Jeter.
You do?
No, I'm kidding.
Come on. No, they had that weird interview that they did, though, and it was like Jeter did come off worse than A-Rod, and that would be unheard of during the Yankee days. Unheard of. I mean, Jeter was the cool one, but then I see A-Rod at the Emmys, and he does look good, and people are flocking around.
I'm dating Jennifer Lopez.
I like that he shows up.
Who
hasn't? I mean, I did. I saw him, and I just went. Where's J-Lo?
No, no, you're
I
right.
Really
I think a lot of people were
it.
Doing
Shout
that.
Shout out to P. Diddy and Ben Affleck.
So the actual award ceremony was pretty cool. Hearing from Bob Costas and Musburger was a highlight.
Yep.
Right?
It was weird. Go ahead.
Who are we sitting next to? I know Peter probably knows this. I have no idea. Who are we
sitting behind Jordan Levin, next to, I don't know, I was sitting
guys,
next to you
guys.
It was one
network,
of those things that there were enough suits that I felt like I could not even look at the time on my cell phone.
Couldn't check your watch.
It was one of those things
couldn't
where, like,
get a drink.
I can't move or flinch or take a gulp or like anything I wanted to say
couldn't
to Nate
pee.
Next to me couldn't do it because I was going to get judged hard.
Yeah. And the
3 hours.
Creeping. So a 3-hour show. You never get up. There's no musical acts. There's no comic. And our category, because it was an awesome category, was all the way at the end. It was like Andre Kramer comes out the like maybe the third to last award. And I got to be honest, my reaction from
what Bob thought was the last
award.
I know you've been here a long night. Good night, everybody. No, Bob, there's another award. I'm still pissed off we didn't win. I was palpably disappointed and kind of pissed we didn't win. There's a moment, if I could compare it to the Oscars, 2003, Bill Murray does Lost in Translation.
Yep.
And the whole award circuit, he's winning everything.
He decides not to do Charlie's Murphy's too, so he can do Lost
Charlie's
Translation.
Charlie's Angels. Charlie Murphy, rest in peace.
Charlie Murphy won a Golden Globe. He denies it to do that role,
which is one of his best roles. Yes, and I'm Bill Murray, and
Sophia
I'm going to be taken
Coppola.
Seriously. I'm going to be this great actor. I'm different. I'm not just the guy from Caddyshack. And it's Sean Penn from Mystic River. And they show Bill Murray, and he is pissed off. This look on his face, there's no, oh, good job. He is ashen that he did not win. And so much so that the host, I think, which might have been Chris Rock, but I'm not sure, added jokes to his little routine afterwards about Bill Murray's face when he lost. That's how I felt at the Emmys. And I had no right to, because I'm no Bill Murray, and we lost to PTI. We lost to one of the greatest ever. But I'm telling you, Kay, I was halfway out of my seat.
Were you really?
I could not believe that Andrea Kramer did not say our name. And it was such a surreal moment. When they're going through the category, I look at Peter. I was like, this is really happening?
This is real life?
Are they going to have a clip for us? And sure enough, they did. And it's like, good morning, football. And it's Kay, like, tearing up cards and
ripping up a card saying,
something.
Screw it.
Who picks that?
I don't know. Of all clips, it was random.
Yeah.
But I thought we were going to win, and I was disappointed.
They must have not seen our three-hour Buffalo Bills show.
They must have.
But you know what it is, though? The clip that they show, it was kind of for
symbolic
me.
Symbolic of all
it was symbolic of us
like,
not
why?
Winning. Because
go on.
It wasn't one of our more exciting moments. Out of all the things we've had on the show, you could have shown a four-second clip of something else that would have encapsulated what we are as Good Morning Football. And I thought, because of the clip that they decided to show, we're not going to win this. Mm. And I'll take it back.
What did they show on PTI?
Talking about Sonny Liston.
Sonny Liston, Muhammad Ali. Well,
But
oh my God, I love that you guys remember that. No
oh, yes.
idea.
Listen,
Sonny Liston was not as good as Muhammad Ali, and everyone in the crowd.
Ali's the greatest.
A bunch of 60-year-old white guys in the crowd nodding. He's not wrong. Ali was great.
You go, Wilbon.
I drank so much wine in that cocktail hour. I was trying to run around with the guy who was playing
xylophone.
He would not let me play the xylophone. I was like, let me play Mary Had a Little Lamb on the xylophone.
You did have
he
some
would
wine.
Not let yeah, he did not let me. I chased him for like 20 minutes.
You know what? And what's
yeah, Kay, I Kay definitely had some wine. She was sitting next to me in random moments doing the soul clap by herself.
Oh, really?
I was like, Kay,
I was
not
scared
yet.
To
I was like,
move.
Not yet, Kay. All right, something would happen. I'm like, oh, that was cool. Here, Kay over beside me. Woo! Ow! Ow! I was like, Kay, not yet, please. Relax.
I thought I was being like saying nothing because I was terrified that like the principal was next to me.
It's true. I had a tweet about the Emmys. And you guys will know where this is going. It happens Tuesday night. I'm angry. Then Friday afternoon, about 3:15, I pick up my phone. It is quarter after gin. And I got really nostalgic about Pardon the Interruption and what a great show it is. And I tweeted this really cheesy thing.
It was the
like,
sappiest thing you
awful,
ever tweeted.
Awful. I was like,
wait, read it. What do you think it was?
It was like, in my 20s, I used to have a beer on Fridays and watch PTI, which I did.
It was a ridiculous tweet by you.
This week, I lost an Emmy to it, honored, like in a beer emoji. I was like,
and
drunk,
it tweeted
happy.
At PTI, like hoping they would retweet it.
No,
I don't know
shut
what
up,
it was.
Peter. But the truth remains.
Can I be part of this Emmy?
The truth remains. It is an awesome show, and I have come to terms now that they're a great show.
What did I tweet
show.
Back to you?
Oh, yeah, like Gin Friday has got you feeling.
A little Martini Friday has you nostalgic, huh?
Yeah.
Lyle.
No, you said got you feeling, like some cool tweeter. Get out of here.
So he,
got
he
you, got me like.
PTI?
Right.
At PTI.
Was it
I love
a,
your show.
Are you hiring tweet?
Yeah, I love your
no,
show.
No, Peter's tweet is like, that feeling when it's Friday.
Dot, dot, dot.
Right, I mean, what do you
think? Kermit sipping tea.
Right, unbelievable.
A crying Jordan meme.
I mean, PTI, Gin got me like. Shut up, Peter.
Y'all dudes be beefing after this show is so funny.
I'd say Gin got me like.
Yes, you did. I'll
Gin got me like in a picture of a kid dancing.
Yeah, and he typed like one capital letter, one little letter, one capital letter, one little letter.
You guys want to go next year?
Yeah, if we can win.
I was worried that it was like they were like, all right, we'll give these young upstarts a shot. And then no matter how good we are next year, they're like, all right, there's another new young show. We'll just give them a shot. Like we were some like token new show. I want to be the show that's like legitimately winning year after year. I'm with you, Kyle. I wanted to get that win.
Me too.
That'll be us.
I think
but
so.
For now, it's off-season, middle of May. Are we surprised that do we feel like there's a lot of content right now for where we are? I'm okay with it. We didn't even get to Eddie Lacy getting 55 bones.
The Bills hired an entirely new front office and said their quarterback is not necessarily their quarterback. We didn't have room for it in the show today.
Cardale Jones, I don't know him.
Yeah.
I don't really know him personally. Yeah. So I feel like we're in a good spot.
I like the show right now. It's a different show. I feel like there was the draft, and then there was draft recap week.
No, there was season.
Yes. Season, Super Bowl, Combine, draft.
Combine had a week.
We did a whole week of draft all different recap, shows. And then it's like, welcome to Good Morning Football 2. It is a sequel now for the next 4 months or whatever it is.
Rookie mini camp, meh.
Yeah,
More interested in broadcast boot camp.
Yes. Yeah. And then so actual training camp. Peter, you know the NFL schedule in a different way than Nader and the Rangers do. What is the middle of the desert
the
when you're the farthest from calling
out? The next 3 weeks are dead zone.
Worse than June?
I like it.
I guess June is coming.
Tumbleweeds are going to come rolling through our studio, but if we keep on bringing energy and creative weird crap, like it'll be great. We're getting more responses on Twitter now than we were during the season because it's so
Terrence
off the wall.
Terrence is smiling social media director there.
Listen, it's 3 hours in the morning. People want to wake up and laugh. They don't
want
to wake
up. What did Collinsworth say?
Best hashtag football ever. Should be fun. Chris Collins gave
football
us a great tweet.
Football is fun, right?
Yeah. Nope. Football
should be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm the football player here. I love it. But listen, it should be fun. Like, we should wake up with the rest of the world, and they should laugh, smile on their way to work, and we even get knee slappers and crying emojis when somebody say they just spit out their coffee or they're rolling on the ground. Like, those are genuine because we literally do the same thing on the show, spit out our coffee and roll on the ground.
Shrakes is there. Go ahead.
Sorry. I put on the other networks, and I swear to God in the morning, it's literally Colin Kaepernick is being blacklisted, and those are real topics. I value that.
But, and we could talk about those things,
and we can
which
go
we
there.
Do.
But I love when Chris Collinsworth can tweet to us and say, hey, had a great time on the Emmy-nominated Good Morning Football. Hashtag football should be fun. There's no shame in enjoying this for a living.
Exactly.
Is there a bomb that's going to drop in the next month or so, though? Like an NFL big storyline?
Kaepernick might sign, and then we'll talk about it for 30 seconds because he's a backup quarterback.
I would say I don't even think that would be a bomb. It'd just be like, oh, he signed? Okay, we'll see what happens. But I feel like –
people love the crime blotter during this time of year, so this is a big one. From
I
May
feel like
to July, five or seven guys are going to get arrested, bad arrests. We're talking drunk driving, drugs, all that. And then we're going to have to put on our serious hats and go do that.
Right.
But there's not going to be
but in the midst of
a
that,
trade.
That's a big story.
In the midst of that, we'll do what we continue to do on GMFB, which is highlighting the guys that do it right off the field, and we do a tremendous job of that. But I think a bombshell, though, and I keep talking about this, guys, and I'm not.
Josh Gordon.
Yes, Josh Gordon.
I knew it.
Yeah, but it's not. And here's the thing. Like, I haven't talked to him in months, but I look at his IG. This dude is, like, 2% body fat, in the best shape of his life. I'm interested. I'm interested as a fan. I want to know if the NFL is going to let him in. I want to know if they do let him in, will the Browns keep him, or will they try to trade him? I don't know. And here's another thing, and I'll go a little bit deeper.
It's like waiting for Godot.
And I'll try not to be too personal and share too much information about Josh, but this is my perspective on Josh, and I don't know what's going on. But he's been out of football for what seems like a couple years now, right?
We haven't seen him in so long.
He's been out, yeah. But he's been working out, training. He's living in L.A., moving around. All this stuff costs money. And as a guy who's been in this league and understands how agents work, and I want to be careful with my words, but if somebody isn't playing and you pay for their training – you pay for their lifestyle, you put food on the table, clothes on their back, roof over their heads, all that money has to be
someone
brought back.
Someone has to get paid back. There's a debt to be paid.
You're on a certain leash, shall I say. So I'm interested to see what happens with Josh Gordon financially. I'm really interested in his life because his agent is Drew Rosenhaus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Drew's not doing everything pro bono.
It's an investment. Yeah.
Will the league allow Josh and Drew to cash in on this investment over the last couple of years? It's a lot of drama behind it. And for a guy who at one point played 14 games and led the NFL in yards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the ins and outs. If they didn't reinstate him, does that mean that something could have happened since then and now that we don't know about yet?
No, it's a long process, and they look at all the records. And
And they could just be delaying it to reinstate him later.
I mean, Alden Smith, I thought week 16 was going to be reinstated. He still hasn't been. The drug thing is where the drug policy in the NFL is really complicated, and the CBA, there's a lot of loopholes for the NFL to just blackball guys with that stuff. So they don't want it in the league.
We clowned on social media a little bit, but I'm thankful for social media these next couple of weeks because we see what these players are doing, and they're telling us, and it's like giving us content for 3 hours.
Oh, big time.
J.J. Watt softball game, like that Snapchat with Schwarzenegger.
We're talking about that late in June.
Yeah. We got an hour of content out of the softball game with Schwarzenegger, and it was good. I liked it. Yeah. If Chris Collinsworth sat down today, and he was such a good mood, and he was beaming, he clearly watched the show, he came in with the content about Ask About the Hat, and if he had sat down and said, talk about the fit of Kaepernick with Seattle and what does that mean socially?
It's just not our show. It's also not our show.
He wasn't looking to do that. We wouldn't have done that. We nailed it with him. I'm so happy with where the show is right now.
I felt that way with Jed York. I felt that way with Michael Bidwell. Yes. Jed York walks in, and we look at him and go, why don't you get along with Harbaugh? It's just not our show. Why isn't Kaepernick on that? It's not our show. Let that be Peter King. Let that be elsewhere. Yeah. Like, that's not what we do.
No, we'll touch on it, and we'll do it our way. But we're not going to drown out every other conversation because we want to focus on one.
Any final thoughts, gents?
Jerry Springer was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Jerry Springer saying
Andrew Hawkins is really good.
Andrew Hawkins
was really
good. How about
that? I'm as smart as I am fast. 4.0 shuttle, 4.0 GPA.
He has twins?
I think
so. He has three kids and twins.
And
So a boy and then two set of twins.
Baby Hawk.
If anybody's listening in the New York area who has a good contact for Milo Ventimiglia, we want to have him on the show. We're a fan of his work. And,
yes. It's cuffing season.
Yes.
I was walking around the New York City yesterday, guys. It was a beautiful day.
Is that
I'm
New York City?
I don't know why I said that.
Where are we going, Kay?
And I just felt...
Talk to your brothers.
Like I felt like a presence. Okay. You know, I felt like there was like a breeze of air, and I was like, what's going on
smelled
here?
Smelled good, too.
An aura.
There was and there were like some like those heart emojis like floating
in the clouds.
Around.
Right.
And I just knew, and then I looked down at my phone, and it's Peter Schrager. Tweet, Milo?
It's Milo, but you like to call him Milo.
Okay. That's
that's your pet name?
That's my pet name for him. Milo's in New York, and I just felt it, and I just really wanted to come in studio. I even was thirsty and tweeted out at him and Mandy Moore and got nothing back.
Nothing.
He's playing hard to get.
You know, the L.A. tabloids are calling you guys Kilo.
He's also, he's also I'm sure, dating someone and low-key dating Mandy Moore, so there's that.
Yeah, who knows?
Kilo.
I want him to be high-key.
Kilo is the name. I like that.
Kilo.
I think I love him.
I know. He loves you, too. He just doesn't know it yet, and he should come on Good Morning Football.
Is that a Michael Bublé song?
Haven't met you yet. It was our first dance at my wedding. For real. That was our first dance. Haven't
this
met
morning,
you yet.
You guys Shocker. You guys were getting dressed upstairs, and I came downstairs early to get some stuff done at 6 a.m., and I was playing Backstreet Boys. I wasn't a huge fan, but was like playing it and dancing around the studio, and I thought to myself, and I was telling Jen Simons this, I was like, what if I was like secretly a crazy, like, psycho fan of the Backstreet Boys, and I never told you guys. And I was just like, loved Nick Carter, and I have to introduce him on set, and I flip out.
Lost it.
And I almost wish that it was true.
Me too.
I think that was Kyle today.
Yeah, that's the sad part. That person existed. I didn't even show you guys my tattoo. You don't even want to see it. I can't show
it on
TV.
Right on the back.
Right. Back something. That would have been great.
I know.
We have to get to that because that would be the Ventimiglia.
The Ventimiglia.
It's a great name. Backstreet Backstamp?
Let's just move on.
A lot of shaking the bus going on. All right, should we wrap it up, guys?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Here's the thing. So we're on TV for 3 hours every day from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern, but Twitter is always. So you guys can always hang out and tweet us at hashtag GMFB. Kyle's not even paying attention. He's already looking at his Twitter right
now.
So hashtag GMFB. We'll see you guys bright and early every morning, all off season long. Bye.